Well, good morning, New Passion. All right, thanks. Good morning, online. It is great to have you here with us today. And I am Carell, Family Ministries Pastor and Assistant Worship Leader here. And so since this is my first time sharing with y'all, I just figured I would share a little bit about myself so you can get to know me a little better. I am a pastor's kid, but don't hold that against me. All right. My father was an Army chaplain for 30 years. With his last assignment before retiring was serving at Fort Gordon as the post chaplain. My two younger sisters, nephew, and mom all live here in Augusta. While growing up, we did quite a bit of traveling, and I can only keep up with the different locations we were at by grades when I was in school. And so kindergarten through first grade, we lived in Texas. Second grade, we moved up to Brooklyn, New York. That was a big transition. All right. Third grade, we lived in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Fourth, fifth, and sixth, we moved back to New York again, but this time we lived in Staten Island. Seventh, eighth, and ninth grade, we lived in Hampton, Virginia along the Chesapeake Bay, and that was a really great place to live. 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, we moved to West Germany at the time, lived in Stuttgart for 6 months, and Würzburg for 2.5 years, where I graduated from high school. And I have to tell you, as a teenager living over there then in youth group, it was the best, because when we went on ski trips, we went to Austria to ski. There was no man-made snow and having to worry about icy slopes like you do in North Carolina. But it was awesome. One spring break, we drove down to Italy, got a chance to see Venice, and took a ship to Greece where we spent the rest of spring break. That was nice. But anyway, when we returned to the States, we moved to Eatontown, New Jersey, where I began attending college, but then moved out to Denver, Colorado, where I attended Colorado Christian University. And I didn't think anything would ever get me out of Denver. I loved it out there so much, I referred to it as Jerusalem West. You know, it was just awesome. But while living out in Denver, my dad got stationed to Fort Gordon, and Augusta has basically been our home ever since. And I've been serving in both student ministry and music ministry for, we'll just say, an extended amount of time. We'll leave it there. Usually when I'm in front of people, I have a keyboard in my hand, so I'm used to having my hands on something, so I'm trying to keep my hands still and not do this for the whole message for you. Hopefully I won't be too distracting. But that's enough about me. Let's focus on the series that we've been in this month called The Greatest Gift Ever. And each week, we have been taking some time to talk about the different names used to describe Jesus from Isaiah chapter 9, starting with verse 6. And I will be reading from the NLT, or New Living Translation. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The last three Sundays, we have covered Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Prince of Peace. Today, I will be talking about Jesus as our Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father is a curious choice, though, of words to refer to Jesus, as that could cause some kind of confusion, right? I mean, Jesus is the Son of God, right? In the makeup of the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why is Jesus being referred to as the Everlasting Father then? Well, before we go any further, let's talk about the word Father for a few minutes. What kind of words, thoughts, emotions, and images come to mind when you think of Father? There is a film on Apple TV currently called Dads, and I jotted down some interesting quotes to share with you. The narrator of this film said, "The role of the modern father, what dads are today, is really not defined." When Jimmy Fallon was asked what a father is, he replied with, "A hero?" That's the first thing I'm going to say, because I look up to my dad. If I do it right, I should be a hero to them. Conan O'Brien's response to finishing the sentence, "A father is," said, "Who knows? If I'm the expert, this whole project is in terrible trouble. So please tell me you got better people coming in." Glenn Henry said, "The role of fatherhood has shifted in a major way from providing. being there for holidays and like discipling to being all the way involved, and you kind of look like a dork if you're not. The last guy, I'm butchering his name, but I think you pronounce it Hassan Minja, he replied with, "A father is my compass." To some, the word father may bring about thoughts like loving, provider, protector, disciplinarian, best friend. Yet to others, it may bring about thoughts of anger, rejection. What father? Deadbeat or abusive? Now, I know all this seems a little heavy, especially right after Christmas, so we're going to have a little bit of fun down memory lane as you see some images of some famous fathers up on the screen behind me. And when you see their picture, I'd like for you to call out their character name and what show they appeared in. So are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, let's play Name That Famous Father. First one, who is this? There we go, Carl Winslow. In what show? Family Matters. All right, next one. There we go, Uncle. Woo, there we go, yes, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Uncle Phil. Next. Yeah, that's it. Tim the Tool Man Taylor of the show Home Improvement. Next one. Well, Al Bundy, what was the name of the show? There you go, Married with Children. Next one. George Lopez of the show? Of George Lopez. Can't get any simpler than that. All right, next one. You should all know this. There we go, Mike Brady. What TV show? The Brady Bunch. All right. There we go, James Evans of the show. Good Times, yeah, you don't want to mess with him. All right, next one. Andy Griffith, yes, but what was his? Andy Taylor, there you go, Andy Taylor of the Andy Griffith Show. All right, this next one, probably more for 80s people. You're in the first service. Yeah, so this is Stephen Keaton of the show Family Ties. And if you remember, this is a sitcom where Michael J. Fox got his big break before doing Back to the Future, that kind of thing. We got two more for you. Next one. There you go, Fred Sanford. Lamont! Big dummy! Right, of what show? Sanford and Son. And the last one, everybody should get this. There you go, yes. Has technically Anakin Skywalker, a.k.a. Darth Vader of Star Wars. Good job, everybody. So the reason I shared some words earlier, quotes, and these images that are associated with fathers is to acknowledge just how strongly they influence our perception, whether good or bad, of God when he is referred to as Father, or even in this case of calling Jesus Everlasting Father. Those who have a great relationship with their earthly father relate much easier to God when he's referred to as Father. But for those who have a poor or non-existent relationship with their earthly father, referring to God as Father can potentially put up an instant wall between them and God, because in their minds, maybe God has already rejected them too. Well, let's get back to why Jesus is being referred to as Everlasting Father in Isaiah. I definitely had to search the commentary on this, and this is what I found as I quote. "This simply means that he is the creator of all things, even time, the ages, and the far-off purpose of all things. As John said in John chapter 1:3, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him." In Colossians 1:16, Paul said, "For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. everything was created through him and for him. Then in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, we read, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. So what do all these verses and scriptures tell us? That Jesus is eternal. He's the creator of all things, and that is where the title of Everlasting Father is based. You see, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has always been and will forever be. That means we can count on the promises in his word. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. You hear that? Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Maybe it's a good idea that we take our Bibles off the shelf and knock the dust off if we haven't been reading them, right? His words are not going anywhere. His promises are true, and that's what we have to stand on. Even in the midst of this ridiculous year of 2020, you know, we as believers have that solid foundation of truth that we can firmly stand on. Though we do not know what tomorrow holds, we have an everlasting Father that has already been there. We have an everlasting Father who protects and loves us beyond comprehension. He is the master of taking bad situations and things that have happened in our lives and bring about incredible blessings from them instead. Jesus never promised his followers that life would be easy. Isaiah 57:15 in the CEV says, our holy God lives forever in the highest heavens. And this is what he says, though I live high and above in the holy place, I am here to help those who are humble and depend only on me. And so this verse states that God is eternal, but also promising to help those who are humble and depend only on him. You know, why only depend on him? Look at where our decisions have gotten us so far when we're in control. That should say enough, right? You know, he is the creator. We are the creation. He knows us so much more better than we know ourselves. You know, how comforting is it to know that we are truly never alone in this life? We have an eternal God who desires to help us as long as we are humble and depend only on him. Doesn't that give you a sense of peace and security? Because with this world, we never know what's going on. Turn on the news for not even 5 minutes and you can get stressed out about it. But we can rely on his word, and whatever God says in his word, it is true. You know, though maybe some of us have been abandoned by your earthly father emotionally, relationally, or physically, this is not the case with Jesus. Check out these amazing verses from Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry, destitute, or in danger, threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is eternal, our everlasting Father. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I've been in student ministry for quite some time, and occasionally when we would go on trips, like to a conference or skiing, to the beach, mission trips, or summer camp, I kind of became like that super protector of our girls in the youth group for the duration of the trip. Obviously, I was not their dad, but I definitely tried to stand in place for their dad. Just in case, while we were gone, some guy tries to make a move on one of our girls, you could guarantee that I was going to step in and protect him. And so, on one particular trip, we were away from home at a camp, and we were sitting outside when this teenage guy comes over to our group, starts talking to our group, and there's nothing wrong with that. He was nice and outgoing, and I enjoy meeting new people. I love meeting new people when we travel. But sure enough, he had his eye on one of our girls and asked if she would like to go on a walk. So she looked at me with a smile on her face, and before she could even ask to go, the guy looks at me and he says, "Hey, you can come along too if you want." Oh yeah, I was definitely going to go on the walk. All right. So back then, I looked much younger than I actually was. I looked like a young college student. And anyway, after walking for a bit, we came across this large boulder, and he suggested that we stop and sit for a few minutes. And this is where this guy tried to make a move by attempting to put his arm around my student. And so she stops him and says, "That's not a good idea." And he said, "Why not?" Well, she replied while pointing to me and said, "That's because he's my youth minister and he didn't approve of what you're doing right now." And so the guy looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, right." And I spoke up and I said, "I am." And so with a look of disbelief, this guy asked to see my driver's license. Well, I gave it to him, and I highly enjoyed seeing the expression on his face when he realized I was much older than he thought. And the thought clicked, I really was her youth minister. So he gave me my license back. He turned around, got up, and quickly walked off. And we began laughing about it, and I didn't see that kid for the remainder of the trip. You know, now, I never got obnoxious about it, but I knew when to step into a situation, and our girls in the youth group thought it was hilarious that they knew that whenever they felt threatened, they knew Papa C wasn't far behind. And so we have an everlasting Father who wants to protect us, who loves us deeper than we can even comprehend. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things that he planned for us long ago." You and I are God's masterpiece. We are worth something. We are worth protecting. Amen? And so there is a job that God has called you to do that only you can do. It doesn't matter if somebody else, if you're called to music or whatever, it didn't matter if somebody's already singing, if God called you to sing. Well, you do it and be faithful for where he has you at. Maybe it's just serving in a small group, you know, or maybe he knows that you can handle being on stage and touring around the world. Just be faithful to what God has called you to do, and you will be blessed beyond belief. Well, as we get ready to close out this message, I would like to summarize the parable of the prodigal son. And yeah, Aaron, you can come on. And if you are unfamiliar with this story, found in Luke chapter 15, 11 to 31, I'm just going to summarize these main points, but if you have time, feel free to read it for yourself. But it goes like this. A man had two sons. The younger son wanted his share of the inheritance now. And as soon as he received his portion, he left home for a distant land and partied like crazy until his wealth was gone. He went from eating the best foods to begging a farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. He was so hungry that the slop he was given to the pigs even looked good to him. Nobody gave this guy anything. Well, the son finally decided to return home to ask for forgiveness and hope his dad would at least hire him as a servant since he felt like he was no longer worthy to be called his son. The father spotted his son returning while he was still a long way off, And instead of being filled with anger and hatred, Scripture says in verse 20 that he was filled with love and compassion. He ran out to meet his son, embraced and kissed him. Though his son began apologizing to him, the father called his servants and said, "Grab the finest robe in the house and put it on his son. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. We are going to celebrate with a feast. He thought his son was dead, but now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he has been found." This is the same kind of love that God has for each one of us, even though we chose to abandon him, even though we have wasted blessings and gifts that he gave us on foolish things. Though we have grieved his heart through our rebellion, God still loved us through it all and is ready and overjoyed to establish a relationship with you and with me. So does that mean that we can go on living in sin? Of course not. None of us know the day or hour when our life will be over on this earth. It is far better for us to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord while we are living than meet him as judge in eternity. We need to repent of our sin, meaning express sincere regret and remorse for what we've done, and ask God for his forgiveness of our sins to be the Lord and Savior of our lives. So hear the good news, everybody, and online. There is absolutely nothing that you've done that is so horrible where God wants nothing to do with you. Maybe your family, maybe people in your community, your so-called friends have written you off as hopeless. Maybe people have said you will never amount to anything. Maybe even your own father told you that. But through Jesus Christ, you are somebody, and he has a purpose for each one of us. You know, so despite all the horrible things that maybe have been spoken over you, despite all the horrible things that you and I have done, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us beyond our comprehension. He loved us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come and die on the cross for our sins, so that our relationship with God could be restored for eternity. God is waiting to run to you and embrace you this morning. He is ready to celebrate another child of his that was lost, but has now made their way back home and is found. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person." A new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Are you ready to come and start a relationship with your Heavenly Father who will never abandon you, who is your protector, who still loved you while you hated and rebelled against him? Listen to this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring our faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If there is someone here this morning, in person or online, that wants to have a relationship with Jesus, he is waiting to hear from you. All you need to do is pray. Praying is having a conversation with God. And just tell him something like this: "Lord, I humbly come before you a sinner, and I have rebelled against your ways, and I am deeply sorry. I want to repent of my ways and ask you to please forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, thank you for coming from heaven to earth to die on the cross for my sins. And I believe you are God's only son and ask you to come into my life and save me. Please be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me and making me a new creation in you. All these things I ask and thank you for in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And if you ask Jesus into your life, welcome to the family of God. We are not perfect. We are all still under construction, but one day we will stand before him perfected. But you now belong to a larger family. You have a heavenly Father who is perfect, who will always be there for you. If you did make that decision for the first time this morning, we ask that you would please fill out a Connect card, which are located in one of the seats in front of you or near you. If you're online, you can click on I have decided to accept Jesus or something, a similar phrase, very similar to that. And we ask that you would fill that out. And as you leave this morning, you just take that card and you will drop it into the black box that's hanging on the wall. The reason why is because we would love to connect with you and celebrate with you that decision that you made so that we can begin to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Because something we have to understand, Christianity is not just about coming to church on Sunday just to fill a seat, is it? It is so much more than that. We come here to build each other up, right? But we are to come here, fill up, go out, be a light into the world, into our community, into your work. Everybody knows that there's a lot of anxiety out there. There's a lot of people searching for hope, and they need to know about the truth that we can stand on each and every day. Even if we're not sure about it, we have that hope and that stability. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for using us even though we are not perfect. But Lord, I pray that everything that we do would glorify you. May we make you famous in all that we do, Lord, because it is not about any of us, God. Everything that we do, it is for you and you alone. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.